Okay, I think we can get straight into it. So I actually see some similarities between the top two questions, and they are very much focused on ourselves, right? Our passion for God. So question two, right, about the insidious signs that might exist to demonstrate that our passion for God is waning, even though this person might be actively serving in church. So what are some of these signs? And it's linked to perhaps the first question, where some signs are exhibited already, where this person is saying the passion is no longer there. So how can they continue to grow in the passion? So maybe we can unpack these two questions in unison and speak to some of the issues that we might be facing. Any pastor can go first. We're not going to pressure our guest speaker.
Right, so what do we do if we have no passion to read God's word or pray? And my answer is, read God's word and pray. And not as a matter of passion, but as a matter of obedience, you know. Because these are things that, whether you feel like it or not, you know that it is something you need to do to get yourself out of that rut. And, you know, this is what God's word has said. Even though you don't feel like it, you still do it. And the wonderful thing is that once you take that first step of obeying, then the word of God will speak to you, and that will then give you, you know, the passion to obey more. And to, so it's like a positive, you know, cycle that grows with time.
To add on to what Pastor Charles has said, it could be because of the busyness of your lives, especially when we worked in Singapore, and that may have caused you to be distracted by the burdens of life, be it work or family, that when you read the Bible, or even if you want to pray, your mind goes to your work, your mind goes to the problems, and that is when we must realize that something is wrong with us. We are spiritually dry, and we have to discipline ourselves to spend time with God, even though it's very hard to do so. As what Pastor Charles, we must continue in this discipline out of the love for God, for what He has done for us. And as what Matthew mentioned about the insidious signs of you being spiritually dry, like you're becoming a dried prune, is the insidious signs is when you find no delight, but more of duty when you read God's word, when you serve God, or you become very hypercritical of others, and you are always complaining, and there's no thanksgiving in your heart, and you don't see things in God's perspective, and you are very, always have that murmuring spirit in you. So these are the insidious signs that have crept into your lives that shows that you may be drawing away from God and not drawing nearer to God. So it could be some idols in the heart, as this morning's hymn we sang, "Oh, for a closer walk with God." There's an idol in you. Could be self, could be lack of approval from others. You are seeking attention from others or approval. So these are the signs that may come. So we must quickly repent and ask the Lord to forgive us and to strive to draw close to Him by praying and reading God's word. And of course, there are times when you read God's word, you don't understand, don't give up. The internet has many sound commentaries that you can go to, and there's devotions by Charles Spurgeon and other devotions which you can look into it and to read them. So there's also an app by the YouVersion app. They have all, there's devotions in it. You can also download this YouVersion, Y-O-U, right? Or YouBible, whereby there are devotions, you can look into it, and so as to refresh your heart. So take step by step. Don't be overly ambitious to get back straight to God. You need to start with something first, a discipline that you have to do it. All this is out of love for God. As what God says in the Ten Commandments, He had a preface, how He, before He gave the Ten Commandments, He says, I remember I am the one who has delivered you out of the bondage of Egypt, and out of, in a sense, He says, out of love for you, out of grace for you. So now these are the Ten Commandments, you obey it. So we do it out of love for what God has done for us.
Okay, I think now that we have tackled questions that focus on ourselves, it actually nicely segues into the focus on others, right? That question next on, should Christians be accountable to one another? How can we uplift, support each other to ensure that we're all passionate for God? I think that's the driving motivation behind the question. Despite God being the one that only truly knows others, why is it important to still keep each other accountable?
The scripture talks about the mutual responsibilities, or oftentimes the Bible says about one another relationship. And because we are in the body of Christ Jesus, obviously we need to encourage one another so that we can be built up together. But I must recognize that there are times one person may be kind of overpowering the other person, or one person has a genuine desire to assist the other person to be able to stand up, but the other person is totally passive and that person wants to rely on this person's performance, whatever. And as a result, there is no mutuality in existence. So there are some practical problems. But one thing is very sure. We cannot live someone else's life. If we just bring it into a kind of a counseling session, if someone has a problem, and with their problem, the person comes to me, I can pray together with him, and if there is any way that I can assist him so that he could regain his strength and so on, but I cannot do things that he is supposed to do. I cannot live his life. Therefore, when we are talking about mutual assistance, encouraging one another, build up one body amongst the members of this body, I'm not saying that you take over other person's duties and responsibilities. Temporarily, you may assist them to be able to accomplish or fulfill their duties, but you just cannot take over the other person's life. If you attempt to take over another person's life, as a result, you are going to live that person's life. That is totally unbiblical. God has given you your duties to manage your life, and that person has his own responsibilities. Therefore, my duty is my duty, and that person's duty is that person's duty, and there has to be mutual interactions. And it is not taking over relationship.
What I find to be helpful, you know, if I sense that somebody is kind of backsliding or going through a problem, but he does not wish to share it, is I just say, please just let me know how I can pray for you. Right? Just leave it as that and leave it to that person to decide how much to share and what not to share. And if the person is willing to, you know, to share, then of course, that gives me the opportunity to help.
Thank you, pastors. Thank you, Reverend Oakman, also for the reminder to focus on managing our lives. And I think part of that management about our lives is the discernment of God's will. So that's another question I'd like to highlight. And the question goes, if God's will is mysterious, how do I know that I'm correctly following His plan and not just assuming what God's will is?
To say that all of God's will is mysterious may not be a truth may not be true, because God's will is found in His Word, the revealed will. And that is the special revelation that we mentioned or we have heard from Pastor Key. So God's will is evident for us in His Word. That's why as God's children, we must know His will by reading His Word. And then we will know where He is leading us. But as we have heard about Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, in one of Pastor Key's message, that there are some things that are only God knows and we won't know, right? So these are the things that we won't know, so we don't seek after, you know, like for example, why didn't God destroy Satan at the Garden of Eden? Why, or when he sinned, why cast him down to earth? These are the mysterious will of God which we don't have any answer. And why did he choose us before the foundation of this world and pass by others? These are his mysterious will, which we cannot even know, but we know that is his will for us. He has a prerogative because he is God. So the will that we know is all from God's word, his revelation that he has given to us, the complete revelation. And that's why we must know His will through His word. Because there's another question that talks about, can we know God's will through visions and dreams? Now that the Bible is completed, there's no visions or dreams as in the Old Testament. And also in the earlier part when of the New Testament, because the will is already revealed to us through His Word. So how do I know that we are following His plan? God has given us His Holy Spirit that indwells in us. When we don't follow His plan, there'll be a sense of unease in our hearts. There's no peace in us. And when we are about, or when we ask people for advice, let's say we have whether to choose this course or that course in a university or work, should we go for this workplace or that workplace? When we ask someone and that person tells us, or that godly person that tells us that you should reconsider, maybe it's not God's will. Right? As what Pastor Key mentioned, how the Lord also used providence, about he wanting to serve in Argentina, but he was redirected to Australia, just like the Macedonian call of Paul in his missionary journey. He wanted to go Asia, but God asked him to go Greece, the Macedonian part. So that's how the Lord plays all these things, affairs in our lives to redirect us. Yeah.
That is a very interesting question. It really depends on how we define the statement. God is mysterious. We can say that God is mysterious if we begin to approach the matter from the perspectives of God's infinity. God is infinite, infinitude of God. And so from that perspectives, we cannot know of all of His will and so on. So we may say that His will is totally mysterious. However, within His mysterious providence, it pleased God to disclose lots of things to us so that we might find His will. And that is the special revelation, the scriptures, through meditation on God's word. Truly, God has revealed His will to us. Therefore, it is not fair to say that God is mysterious, therefore we cannot know any part of God's will. There are known wills of God. At the same time, secret things belong to God. That is a probably statement to say.
Thank you, pastors. I'd just like to end off this Q&A with one last question, also drawing back to the message we had on trials. So the song Rejoice in the Lord, which we sang as a closing song, the person who asked this question rightly says that it was not an easy song to sing when we go through trials and tribulations. So the question is, how can we continue to cling to God when we undergo this? And I think it's a good opportunity for our pastors to also have this short word of encouragement for the congregation.
The only thing I can say is that when we don't understand, we just have to trust. Just trust that, you know, God is in control, right? He has never left us, and that in the end, He will lead us in the right direction.
One of the most frequently used word by Paul is endure and endurance. And it's like duty has to be fulfilled whether we like it or not, regardless of circumstances. Likewise, even in times of trials and temptations, we need to fulfill our duties and responsibilities. At the same time, if we truly believe that God is sovereign and all His works are providential, then we must come to a conclusion that even our trials and tribulations must be within His providence and within His sovereign rule. If that is true to us, then as Pastor Charles said, trust and obey must be the only answer in times of such.
Thank you, pastors. Okay, with that, I would like to bring the Q&A to a close. I hope that we found it insightful and informative. Now I'd like to invite Pastor Charles to just close this session and time in prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there are many things that we don't understand, and indeed Thy ways are mysterious. And yet, O Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast shown Thyself to always be true to all Thy promises. And it is because so many have discovered how faithful You are in keeping Your word, that we, Lord, we can have that confidence that You will also fulfill the promises in Your word to us. And so, Lord, no matter what happens in our lives, whether it be good or evil, help us, O Lord, to see that all these things are ordained by Thee for Your glory and for our good. And so with these thoughts, O Lord, we pray that we may rest well tonight and be able to be refreshed even for tomorrow's program. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.